Appreciate so much you being here this morning. We can now, Roger can do what Glendon did the other day. It's like we're not having to concern ourselves with a building falling over into the street today because we've got plenty of people on this side. So thankful. Thankful for that. We certainly appreciate everyone being here. Certainly are happy to be here and enjoyed being together this morning and all the discussions that we've had in the various classes, and certainly appreciate you being here for this assembly. A few weeks ago, I started preparing, well, had prepared the lesson, and yesterday was thinking about whether I wanted to present this lesson or not, and got a phone call. And I decided, you know, that's the lesson I need to be teaching. When I got the phone call, it's not what you're going to think, because it's kind of the reverse of what might seem to be from this, but it's not. The reason I got this lesson a few weeks ago, started working on it and had done most of it, was because it's difficult for me always to have the kind of attitude I should have. I work on this and it seems like, wow, you know, everything's going really well, and then we get to a situation, and I know I preach lessons every once in a while on this subject matter, and a lot of it's me. It's a little different today than what I've presented in the past. But what got me thinking about this was when I started studying 2 Corinthians and realized we have a man there who is, what an example of a person who understood and knew what life was about. And so we had talked about 2 Corinthians the first Sunday of the month. On the second Sunday of the month, I talked about do not lose heart because of the fact that it's so easily to get discouraged, and we certainly don't want to get there. So let me tell you about the phone call. A few years ago, and this might be a little difficult for me, I'll try not to be, but after my first wife passed away, I got a call and they asked if I would come to Canada, and I'd been there before and had actually taught at Bancroft, and said, would you come and preach for us? Well, it was one of those where it's like, wow, you know, it's difficult. But I thought, excuse me, about God is intervening and certainly putting something in my life to help me. So decided to go and had planned for the trip. Ended up going to Bancroft and preaching there. Went up to a little place called Whitney and preached. So the first part of the week, I think I'm going to say Sunday through Thursday or Sunday through Wednesday, I preached at Bancroft and then went up to Whitney. Let me tell you a little bit about Canada. You know, we talk about going to foreign countries and teaching in all these places. There's very few Christians in Canada. They will actually literally travel hundreds of miles to go and be with someone, to assemble with them. They care enough, those folks that are trying really hard there, to do that. When I talk about Bancroft and I talk about Whitney, I don't want you to get the impression that they're next door to each other. I'm thinking it took about an hour and a half to drive from one to the other. And every time we would go up there and go fishing, we used to go up and go camping there, it was one of the places I just loved to go. And I would originally go to Bancroft. Most people would go to a congregation that was closer, but I just enjoyed traveling the 2.5 hours or whatever it was, going up there. Just people that I really cared about. So when they asked me to come, this fellow that called me yesterday, his name is Larry Fuller. He preaches there. I'm going to try, because I want you to know about him. He's one of the most positive people I've ever been around in my life. He's working in that small community in Whitney, and the weekend I was there, we had, I don't know how many Bible studies with people just for this short period of time, and some folks were baptized. And they were very excited because if you take Waynesville, you can put Whitney inside of Waynesville, and then you put Whitney inside of Waynesville. And it's a way up there. And if anybody knows where Algonquin Park is, if you've ever been there, it's way up there. And normally, like I said, I don't do this sort of thing, but I just think I should today. So I heard the phone ring. I heard Linda on the phone. Had no idea that she brings me the phone. She says, hey, someone wants to talk to you. And let me tell you about Larry. Larry had worked there hard as he could with a small group of people. And then Larry, there's some things happened in his life that were could be considered very devastating. I won't go through all the what I would consider bad things in his life, but let me just give you a few of them. One of them was that adopted a little girl, actually two little girls, and the older little girl was very violent, and she had actually tried to kill the smaller child. And they had gone through some difficult times debating what to do with this child, and ended up having to basically take the child back. They could not do anything. She even threatened to kill them in their sleep. And that doesn't sound possible, but we know that things like that happen. Then he found out that he had a brain tumor. And so they ended up having to move from Whitney, went down to Sudbury, which is quite a distance away. They ended up in Kingston for a while. But when they were in Sudbury, he went through several operations, and they tried to remove as much of the tumor as they could. And it affected him a lot. You know, it affects your emotions, your speech, everything else. He still, though, worked in the kingdom. He still went out trying to teach people. He still was trying to do his own job. By the way, this man has worked hard all of his life. He had worked while he was trying to preach. And again, I won't tell you all the bad things that we've considered that happened in his life, but when he was at Kingston, they certainly tried to do some work there and was very instrumental, but he could not find a job when he got better. And his wife was trying to do everything they could to take care of the family. So when he called yesterday, he was just happy as could be. He said, I know my speech isn't very good. My tongue, he said, I've never gotten feeling back in half my tongue. He said, I have a problem with my eye. He said, but you know, I'm glad to be back. And he said, I've came back, got a job here. Well, I've got a job here. We're surviving. He said, we're kind of living out in the country. Got the church going back. He said, we got some people going. He said, really excited about that. He said, we've got 6 people now. 6 people. This thought, you know, wow, I needed that. He had no idea. Just thinking about, it's so easy here, isn't it? I mean, are we bringing people to God's kingdom like we want to? No. Is there anyone here saying, oh boy, you know, I've taught the gospel this week and so many wanted to be converted to Christ? No. But do we have opportunity? Seems like I have opportunities, and I know you do too, frequently to talk to people about the Bible. And I'm just appreciative of those. And sometimes they're beneficial. Sometimes they're always beneficial to me. Anytime anyone calls and says, hey, even if they're a Christian and want some scriptures, or they want this, or they want that, or just want to talk about the Bible, I'm always appreciative of that. What a positive attitude. It's like everything could possibly go wrong. And he doesn't look at it that way at all. If he looked at everything that happened to him as a benefit, as a step to get up. You know, it's our ability to grow spiritually is very dependent on us being positive. You know, can't do that. I can't learn. You know, that Bible is difficult. I don't know. I mean, you really think I should pick it up and look at it? You think I should study it? You think I should... See, we won't grow. You quit eating food tomorrow, and I guarantee you, you're not going to not only not grow, you're going to go the other route. Our body will try to fend it off for a while, but eventually you just starve yourself to death. But we think spiritually, okay, I can handle this. Okay. All these, was it 168 hours or something in a week? I probably did wrong about that, but whatever it is. But I'm going to spend 10 minutes on the most precious thing that we have. And really, after all, it doesn't do me that much good, right? We won't grow otherwise. And I put scriptures up there, which we're not going to use. We've got to be Christ-like. We talked about abilities today. We talked about all that we are belongs to God. We've got to use them to our fullest ability. We've got to understand that everybody's poured up the body. You know, when you assemble somewhere where there's 6 people, you think you don't understand the importance of each and every one there? Makes a big difference, doesn't it? You know, trying to teach the gospel. He hasn't given up. And he knows it's beneficial, and he keeps trying every day. We can develop a positive attitude by creating good habits and goals for ourselves. We can't just do this hoping that things work out. We should work on our prayer time and study time. And it helps me every time. And I know this, but I still don't always have a positive attitude. I should go back to that one. We should also work on our time together, encouraging and exhorting one another. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, and then Romans 12, 6 and 8. We have a responsibility to each other. To remain positive, we must recognize our labor is not in vain in the Lord. as he would say in 1 Corinthians 15:58, and to always lift up each other in difficult times. We talked about this from 2 Corinthians 4 a couple of weeks ago. Pick someone that had a positive attitude. If you picked the perfect one, you would go to Christ. Always positive, always knew what it would accomplish. How could he be so positive? How could he be so upbeat? How could he be that way when he would teach people and they would walk away? And he would say, "Will you also go away?" But he did. Because he knew what he was here for. He knew what he was going to do. From 2 Corinthians over the past 3 weeks, we've seen that Paul had a positive attitude as well. Let me tell you about the dangers of negative attitude. Let's go back to Numbers 13. You think that having a negative attitude, and I do sometimes, I mean, sometimes with Linda, well, I'm not supposed to, I'm sorry. I get in trouble every time I mention her name. And then I get in trouble for saying I'm getting in trouble for mentioning her name. So I'm in trouble already, so let me just go ahead and mention her name. So I'm ragging about something, you know, and she goes, "That's not like you. You shouldn't be doing that. You can't do that. It's okay for me to do it, but you can't do it." You know, and that's the way we are, isn't it? It's okay. Right? No, it's not okay. It's not okay for me to do it. And I don't want to be like these 10, do you? Numbers 13:21. So they go into the land, they come back out, and they don't believe it can be done. They don't believe it can be done. I got 21. Let's go to 31, which is the correct verse, okay? Caleb is there quieting them, and he's saying, "Look, we can do this. We can do it." He's positive. He said, "With God's help, we can do this. We can accomplish what we need to accomplish. Don't let anyone else affect you on that." But he said, but the man who had gone up with him said, "We're not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we." Who are they leaving out? God. Can't do this. Can't do it. Just impossible. Impossible. And they were so vocal about this that they discouraged most of the Israelites. Look at this in verse 32. "And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we had gone is spies as a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people who we saw in it are men of great stature.'" Then we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, come from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and as so were they. Let me try that again. "And so we were in their sight." Look at chapter 32. Verse 7. "Now why will you discourage the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord has given them? Thus your fathers did when I sent them away from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up to the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel so that they did not go into the land which the Lord had given them." Let me ask you a question. Which effect would you personally rather have on someone? This one or the other? You know, it is very easy for me to get discouraged. I work on it all the time. Don't you? You're truthful. Things don't always work out the way we want. In this case, what effect did 10 have on everyone else? I mean, we're talking over 1 million people, and they have the ability to get them all down, get them all thinking they can't do this anymore, can't do it. Then he went from that, Deuteronomy 1, to some very serious complaining. What they ended up doing in Deuteronomy 1, 22 through 28. "And every one of you came near to me and said," he's recalling this, what had happened. "And every one of you came near to me and said, 'Let us send men before us and let them search out the land for us and bring back word to us of the way by which we should go up and the cities in which we shall come.'" They said, this was the intent. We sent the 12 men up there to find a way in and out. That's what you do. You send people ahead. "Well, the plan pleased me well, so I took 12 of your men, one man from each tribe, and they departed and went up into the mountains and came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. They also took some of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us, and they brought back word to us, saying, it is a good land which the Lord our God is giving us. Seems like things are really well, does it not? Going really good. Bring it back. Nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God, and you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, He's brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there. Particularly verse 27. Can you believe this? Because the Lord hates us. Blame it on God. Things aren't going well. Let's just blame it on God. We can't do this. We can't possibly make this work. And we find then it led to rebellion. Of course, if verse 26, you rebelled. Not just against Moses, but against the command of the Lord. You decided, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do this work. And then finally led to disbelief. Look at 29. Then I said to them, do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes up before you, He will fight for you according to all He did in Egypt before your eyes. In the wilderness where you saw how the Son of the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son, and all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet for all that, you did not believe the Lord your God. He said, look, think of what He did back there in Egypt. Think of all those things that He did. All of those miracles. He don't believe. Because you don't believe His Word. If He can do that, you don't think we can make it in there and take over this country that He's giving us? And finally led to their punishment in Numbers 14. God punished them for it. They wandered around the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years. Now I'm going to throw something out here. 40 years. Wouldn't you like to go back to those 10 men at some point and say, what did you do? And they turn around and say, what did I do? You agreed. You agreed. Two men made it. Joshua and Caleb, because they had faith in God. Because they believed it. Because they thought they could do it. So a negative attitude causes us to lose confidence. Causes us to discourage others. I know it does with me because I end up doing that, and it causes me to complain and causes me then maybe to rebel. And maybe I say, well, this ain't working. You know, I'll tell you what. The gospel's not working like it used to. Let's think of another way that we can bring people to Christ. Let's add something to this. Let's think up something, and we rebel. And we decide, it isn't working the way God wanted. I can't make it in there and I can't take people with me. We just can't overcome all of these giants we've got to overcome. The gospel's not having effect anymore. Let's try something else. Then it causes me to have less faith because I don't trust in God. I don't believe that His Word is the power to salvation. And then it might cause me to lose my salvation entirely because at this point, I'm gone. I don't have confidence in God anymore. I don't think anything can be done. And I don't think I'm going to be there to discourage everyone else. In Hebrews 4, verse 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall after the same example of disobedience. And what's he talking about? They wouldn't enter that rest. They wouldn't go into Canaan, the very same thing. And he said, you'll be the same way, Abe, if you don't do it. But the importance of a positive attitude. Let's go down to Nehemiah. This is a totally different group of people. We're talking, let me do the numbers real quick. 1,000 years later, thus thereabouts, something like that. And when we get to Nehemiah, we found they come out of captivity. They've been released. So they go back, and Nehemiah wants to go to Jerusalem and take a look at the walls. And of course, he's very sad at what he sees because they're all torn down and it's just been destroyed. All the rocks that built the walls are falling down. And I think sometimes he goes there and he goes, wow, this is not possible. If I was looking at that situation, and I go up to Whitney and I go, this isn't the place to be. There's only six people here. Truth is, when he went there, he looked at what it could be. not what it had become. He knew there were some walls that needed to be built. He knew the city needed to be put back. And he said he was there for 3 days, verse 11. He had a few men with him. He said he hadn't told them what this was all about, but there they were. In verse 13, they viewed the walls, the gates had been burned with fire. And see, he came back and he said, and the officials did not know in verse 16 where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the others who did the work. Then I said to them, you see the distresses that are in, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build a wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. Let's do not let this get us down. We've got a job to do. We can make it. We can do this. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to do this good work. 10 men discourage a whole nation. 1 man, with his positive attitude, encourages a whole nation. What a wonderful thought. They said, yes, we can do this. And I don't think, unless you've read this over and over again, just how daunting a task this was. These are not friendly people that they're going to be with. These are not people who really want them to be there. But they encourage one another. In verse 20, so I answered them and said to them, the Lord of heaven, or God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore we are his servants. I'll try that again. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. In 4, verse 14. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren. When the surrounding folks were going to try to defeat them in this and keep them from doing it, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Don't concern yourself with it. God will do it. Therefore, in verse 20, whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. They minimized the complaining. Here they were, Tobiah and others were there saying, hey, you can't get this done. Here's what he says. Well, this is what Tobiah said. Whatever they build, even if a fox goes up on it, he'll break down the stone wall. And then Nehemiah says, hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder the land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders. He said, I'll tell you what. Shut them up. We can do this. And they coalesced around one another. They were united in this. In 4 verse 6, we see as though we built the wall. And the entire wall was joined together up to half its height. Why? For the people had a mind to work. He said, you don't have to concern yourself with it. We're together in this. We're going to get this done. And what happens to their faith? Well, they go stronger and stronger. We see them bringing out the law. Ezra reading it to them in Nehemiah 8. Telling them what the law says. We find then in chapter 13, when they heard the law and they understood that they should have been building these booths during this month to the Lord, they went out and did it. I want to tell you, this isn't an easy task. Remember, all the nations around them hate them. They don't want them to do this. They don't want that built back. They don't want these things to happen. To go out and gather up all of this, to do what God said, you've got to have complete trust and faith in God. They did it. Verse 17, so the whole congregation of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and set under the booths. For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, until that day, the children of Israel had not done so. Can you imagine? And this led to rewards. They were able to get the build. They were able to get the walls built. They were able to get it done despite all the opposition. And what do we find in verse 15 of Nehemiah 6? So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. And it happened when all of our enemies heard of it, that all the nations around us saw these things, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God. And this goes back to the parable we studied today. It is His. It belongs to Him. It is He gets the glory for anything good that happens And so they understood that. And in chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, we see them understanding where they've been with God. We see them confessing their sins. We see them making things right with God. And things now are good. So a positive attitude causes us to say, I or we can. We say, with God's help, we can do this, whatever it might be. Causes us to encourage one another and to say to one another, we can accomplish whatever task we set out to do. We've got to have reasonable goals and tasks, but we can accomplish those. It causes us to minimize our complaining, where we're not complaining because we're working. And the more work that I do, the less I tend to complain. It causes us to be united or coalesce around one another, to be there for one another, and to want to encourage one another. Not to pull away, but to say, I want to be a part of this. I want God of heaven to be pleased with what I do, with what He's given me. And it causes us to have a greater faith in God. And it causes us to reach for the goal. It shows us in Philippians 3 that we have a Cana to reach. We have a place to go to. We have a rest that's been put there for us. But it's not a matter of just sitting here. It's a matter of me doing whatever I need to do and believing that it's there. And believing I can accomplish what God wants me to do. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God. If you think about this, it actually says I press to go for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus in the New King James. He said, when you understand what's at the end, when you understand what you get, why wouldn't you be positive? Now this is a man that we're going to talk about in the second assembly that I sometimes shake my head at how positive this man was. So these are the dangers of a negative attitude. It can lead, as we've seen in the Bible, to all the way to a loss of salvation. Never ever let that affect what you're trying to do. What we need to do as Christians is to press toward that mark. We need to understand, yes, is it difficult today to find people to maybe talk to about God's Word? I think it's the most difficult time I've ever had in my life. Does that make it impossible? No. Does that make there's not people out there that want to hear the gospel? I'll tell you what, the more positive I am about it, the better off I'll be. The more positive I am about it, the more effect I'm going to have on someone else. The more positive I am about it, the better the results will be. Can we prove that from God's Word? If we had no other examples than these two, certainly we could. But we've got loads of examples we could use that shows the difference between the two. The question is today, where am I? I can't ask where you are. I can only ask where I am. I work on myself, you know, and as someone said, the worst possible thing probably can happen to any of us is self-doubt. It's when we get to the point where we start doubting. Not because we're so great or not because we have everything together, but because we end up doubting God. We end up thinking this isn't going to work. We end up thinking we can't accomplish this. In the second lesson, we're going to talk more about how to acquire a good attitude, how to acquire a positive attitude, and how to keep it. Like I said, this is a lesson that I know I needed, and that's why I prepared it, I don't know, three weeks ago I think it was, and maybe four since I was studying 2 Corinthians. But regardless of that, I was so grateful for Larry calling me yesterday. I hope someday you get to meet him. He is a person that's one of my heroes in the way he looks at life. In a place where he could easily be very discouraged, where he could not have a positive attitude, but everything he looks at, he sees light at the end of the tunnel. When most of us can't even get into the tunnel, let alone see the light at the end. We're going to stand and sing a song, and would encourage anyone. As I've said many times before, you don't have to wait to the end of one of my lessons if you need to be obedient to God. The most important thing can happen to someone is to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. If you have that need, and you understand what you need to do, and you believe that Jesus Christ was Son of God and He died for your sins, change your life today. Turn to Him. Be immersed in water. Confess that He's the Son of God. and then live as you should. And if you have any other needs or any way we can help you, any prayers we might be able to say for you or with you, would you let us know about those while together we stand and sing?